This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So it's been a week since tax time ended. And before you file away another year of 1040s, one quick question. You remember that little line on the Massachusetts income tax form, line 33? The one that says tax due on out-of-state purchases, including online purchases? Yeah, that one. So how many of you reported any online purchases at all? Let's see a show of hands. Yeah, didn't think so.
You're in good company because fewer than 2% of Massachusetts residents report online purchases, even though many of us at some point in time have bought something on the web.
And maybe you do precisely that because by buying online, you can avoid paying that 6.25% state sales tax, especially at an e-commerce giant like Amazon, where you can buy everything from books to baby clothes to artisanal coffee beans. When you click on that checkout, come on, who doesn't like seeing that zero tax line item on the receipt?
Local retailers, that's who. The Retailers Association of Massachusetts is calling for a bill that would force Amazon and other e-commerce sites to collect state sales taxes. If passed, the Retailers Association says the legislation could level the playing field when it comes to their ability to compete with those online giants.
This is an enormous issue in almost every state in the country right now. In Massachusetts, the sales tax loss from unreported online buying could be more than $330 million this year. But it also raises a bigger question about taxes and commerce in the 21st century, such as what, if anything, should states do when, by virtue of the internet, even the simple act of buying a book can be an interstate issue. Well, joining us now for more on that is Bill Rennie. He's vice president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. Mr. Rennie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So right now, what is exactly are you asking for in this legislation that has been proposed on Beacon Hill?
Well, at the state level, the situation has changed for us very recently because just before Christmas of this year, news came out that Amazon was actually locating a facility here in the Commonwealth.
In Cambridge.
It was going to be coming to Cambridge, Massachusetts, yes. So, for years we had, pursued the issue at the federal level, where federal legislation would grant states remote collection authority from all online sellers. Our focus now is on Amazon in Cambridge specifically. If they have a physical presence here in the Commonwealth, we feel that they have an obligation to collect or remit the state sales tax.
Now, is that because there was a Supreme Court decision back in 1992 that mandated that retailers collect sales tax in states where they have a physical presence? Well, is your entry there to Amazon?
Yeah, the Quill decision back in 1992, the Quill versus the state of North Dakota, the Supreme Court decided that held that states couldn't require companies that lacked a physical presence in the state to collect and remit sales tax. That was based on catalog sales, so it was really 3 years even before Amazon sold their first book. So we feel that decision really is outdated at this time and needs to be revisited.
Okay, so let me just ask you sort of a big picture question here. I mean, basically what I hear you saying is that there is this feeling from local retailers that they are losing out on business or not able to compete as much because online retailers, especially the giants like Amazon, in Massachusetts aren't charging sales tax. So that makes their items more attractive to potential customers. Is that what you're saying? So you want to level the playing field?
Yes, we would like a level playing field. We feel that, our members, local brick-and-mortar retailers here in Massachusetts, are operating at a 6.25% disadvantage.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that because, I mean, does that 6.25% really matter as much as, say, the fact that especially a behemoth like Amazon is able to, say, undercut local retailers on price for a number of other reasons? They sell in volume. They don't have brick-and-mortar stores where they have to pay the rent. They're just cheaper maybe even after the 6.25%.
Well, we certainly think that there are advantages and disadvantages to both shopping online or at a brick-and-mortar store. But as going back to your earlier point, you described the sales tax as being avoidable. If you want to drive up to New Hampshire and shop in New Hampshire, you can avoid the state sales tax. If you want to shop at certain online retailers to try and avoid the state sales tax, you can do that. Our members are more than happy, to compete on price and service, but the one thing we can't compete against is a state tax policy that puts us at a 6.25% disadvantage. And for some consumers, you know, the sales tax is very front and center in their mind.
And your members, are they mostly small Massachusetts-based retailers?
Our members, we're a statewide trade association. We represent over 3,400 member companies, you know, all the way from mom and pop, small family-owned businesses, up to the national chains who are also members of ours. But primarily, you know, 95% of our members are really, truly small business with, you know, say 15 to 20 employees.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I read that Walmart and Best Buy, for example, have sort of joined you in a coalition to get some sort of legislation passed in Massachusetts to make online retailers collect state sales tax. And, you know, hearing that 95% of your members are mom and pop retailers, it's strange bedfellows when they find an alliance with Walmart that's been squeezing them from the other end on prices as well.
This really is a unique issue that sort of unites retailers of all shapes and sizes because they all want to compete on a level playing field. So whether it's our larger members or our smaller members, they all come at it from the same position.
Okay, well, what do you make of the idea or the stance that companies like Amazon, like Zappos and Overstock have taken where they say the way this Massachusetts bill is designed, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but basically that they're, so Amazon's a different story because of their physical presence in Massachusetts. But does the bill still contain this idea that anyone who does ancillary business, people advertising on websites that are locally owned should also be taxed?
That is legislation that was had been proposed last year. We've gotten away from that approach.
You've gotten away from that. Okay.
Solely, you know, right now our sole focus is on, you know, clarifying in the law that Amazon, you know, if they're located here, they have to follow the same laws and rules as everybody else, and they should be obligated to collect or emit.
Okay. Well, I'm speaking with Bill Rennie. He's vice president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts, and we're talking about the push to make online retailers, specifically Amazon, to collect Massachusetts sales tax and how states, local retailers and internet businesses should deal with this issue of taxing commerce in the 21st century. So do you shop online to avoid that 6.25% Massachusetts sales tax? And would you object if you had to pay that tax for purchases from companies like Amazon? Or maybe does it change your mind when you hear that the state of Massachusetts could lose more than $300 million this year because so many purchases are made tax-free online? And maybe the bigger question is it time for a federal solution? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Bill Rennie, if you stand by for just a moment, I want to bring in another guest into this conversation. That's Eric Brynjolfsson. He is a director of the MIT Center for Digital Business and co-author of Race Against the Machine, a book about technology and the economy. Professor Brynjolfsson, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to have you. I should tell listeners that we did reach out to Amazon for comment, and they have not returned our calls or emails. But Mr. Brynjolfsson, when you hear the stance that the Retailers Association of Massachusetts has, saying, you know, like, let's change state law here, it has happened in a handful of other states. But is that the best way forward when it comes to e-commerce?
Well, I'm a huge fan of what e-commerce can do in terms of bringing greater efficiency to retailing, and I'd like to see it thrive. But I have to agree with Bill that we don't need to have special tax-free rules for e-commerce retailers. The best way to do it is through federal legislation and have something uniform throughout the entire country. But lacking that, I can see a good argument for a state solution.
Okay, well, what would be the way forward on the federal level? I mean, Congress would have to act somehow. And do you have any model in mind as to, you know, what specifically the federal government could do that would, you know, obviate the need for, you know, a 50-state patchwork set of solutions?
Right. It's actually worse than a 50-state patchwork work. There are thousands of different tax jurisdictions, some at the city level, the state level, the county level, and they have varying rules about what's taxed and what's not taxed. And Amazon makes a good point that it's kind of a nightmare, or at least a big headache, to try to keep track of all those different taxes. You may be subject to slightly different taxes depending on whether you have something shipped to your home or to your office, or depending on exactly where you live. So in order to have to comply with all those laws, Amazon would have to have a fairly complicated software system to keep track of which taxes get paid where. Federal legislation could simplify that and make it more uniform, and that would certainly improve the situation.
Do you mind if I ask how they would do that? Because, I mean, given the fact that state and local taxes are so variable across the nation, I mean, would the federal government have to come up with some number that could be uniformly applied to all states? And how could that be constitutional?
Well, certainly the government has the right to have to tax, you know, have a value added tax or a sales tax if they wanted to, and they could also I'm not a lawyer, but I think they could also pass rules that simplified which, you know, how far the states would be entitled to have differential taxes. Mm-hmm. So those are possibilities. I don't see that happening anytime soon, although there is legislation pending in Congress, as I understand it. So for the time being, I can see a reasonable argument for states doing this.
Mm-hmm. Bill Rennie, let me ask you, I mean, Amazon has said in other statements beforehand that they're not in the business of collecting taxes for the states. That's not what they do. And so by virtue of asking them to do that, it's just a very short, A, it's a short-sighted solution, they say. And B, you know, as Eric Brynjolfsson was saying, it's just too complicated. So it would interfere with their ability to do business.
Well, you know, I'll say this. We support the federal legislation that would, you know, allow for collection from the states from all remote sellers. And, you know, I know Amazon has commented in the past that they also support a federal solution to this.
That's right.
To the point that it's too complicated for them to collect, you know, I find that almost laughable in that, you know, it's no secret that Amazon.com runs the back end of various websites. And, you know, even up until about a year ago, they ran the back end of Target.com. So, under the current situation now, they're collecting and remitting in, you know, I don't know how many different thousands of jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the past 12 to 18 months or so, they've reached agreements in at least six states to begin collecting and remitting sales tax in those states. You've got California, Indiana, Nevada, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Virginia, who are all going to begin collecting, Amazon will begin collecting sales taxes in those states starting as early as the first of the upcoming year. Pennsylvania, Amazon will begin collecting in September of this year. And they already collect in five other states, Kansas, Kentucky, North Dakota, Washington, and New York.
Are these all states in which they have that quote-unquote physical presence?
They are. They are. They have a physical presence in all those states that were mentioned, except for the state of New York, where they're collecting under a different type of that affiliate marketing law approach that you mentioned earlier. But in New York, they are collecting and remitting, but they are challenging that law in court.
Eric Brynjolfsson, I still don't feel like I personally have a handle on exactly how much this tax issue matters. I mean, do you have a sense as to the flow of commerce from states? Well, I guess it'd be most states with a sales tax to businesses that don't have to charge it? I mean, does it really matter, or are there other reasons why people are shopping online?
Well, there are lots of reasons that people are shopping online, as you mentioned.
I guess other more important reasons.
There's convenience. But we did a study on this, actually, as to what led people to buy from online and offline retailers. And price is very important. Right off the bat, it's a 6% difference in price, and there are a lot of people for whom that will make the difference between what they buy. But very interesting, even more importantly, we found that many shoppers put a disproportionate emphasis on tax. So interestingly, even if two products had the same price, but one of them had lower tax, even if they had the same after-tax price, but one of them had less of it as tax, people preferred to avoid the tax. So tax actually has a disproportionate effect on shifting sales away from retailers. I can see this having quite a big effect on where people shop.
Let's take a couple calls here. Sean is calling from Lowell. You're on the air, Sean. Hi, Sean. Can you hear me? Are you with us? Looks like we don't have him. Let's go to Talia, who's calling from Medford. Welcome to Radio Boston, Talia.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can. What's your thought today?
Great. I just filed my Massachusetts state taxes in the past week, like many people, and noticed that there's this use tax in Massachusetts, such that it's actually illegal for consumers in Massachusetts to just buy things on Amazon and move on and never pay sales tax. The law is, even if Amazon isn't supposed to collect it, that the consumer is supposed to pay tax when they buy online and keep track of it and pay it at the end of the year. And there's a such thing as a tax safe harbor where you can pay a certain amount based on your income that they expect is how much you spent. Does the person on the call know how much money Massachusetts brings in per year on that line of the tax forms for use tax?
Well, we know how much the state is losing, and I have to say that the Department of Revenue here in the state itself says that only 1.5% of taxpayers actually report that. So we know that roughly 98% of people are, as you're putting it, actually breaking the law. But it's up to the state to enforce the tax collection. Bill Rennie, let me ask you, do you have an answer to Talia's question about a dollar figure regarding the use tax?
I know I've heard a number in the past. I can't be quite certain on it, but I know it's fewer than $10 million.
Okay. Let's talk to Louise, who's calling from Milton. You're on the air, Louise.
Yes, hi. I was listening to the conversation with great interest. One of the things you just addressed, which was my issue of a lot of my online shopping I do for convenience sake. But the other thing you haven't talked about, which is an issue for me personally, is I always look at the shipping costs, which are associated with oftentimes buying online, and sometimes the shipping costs exceed the tax cost, and so I will often not buy it online because it's really just a dollar game. Is it going to cost me more to pay the tax, or is it going to cost me more to pay the shipping? And I'll take any comments offline.
Louise, thank you so much for your call. Eric Brynjolfsson, your thoughts on this sort of very complicated calculus that individual consumers go through to decide where to buy.
Well, Louise is very typical. That's exactly what we found in our research study, was that many customers will look at all three components, the basic price, the shipping cost, and the sales tax. And interestingly, they put extra weight. They put more weight sometimes on the shipping and sales tax than they do on the item price, dollar for dollar, and it can discourage them quite a bit from making those purchases. So that's often sales tax is in the same ballpark size as the shipping cost, and they kind of roughly cancel out. But when they don't, that can be determinative.
Mm. Bill Rennie and Eric Brynjolfsson, last question to both of you. A little earlier today, we spoke with Ed Black. He's president of the Computer and Communications Industry Association based in Washington, D.C. And he said that basically the problem is our current tax structure overall and that it's very archaic. And by having states pass legislation that forces online retailers to collect state sales tax, I mean, that we're going to lose the incentive to clean up and rework our current tax system. And it's a sort of a short-term leveling the playing field for a long-term disadvantage of not having a simpler and maybe fairer tax system overall. Bill Rennie, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the larger issue of where we go with tax structure in the future, you know, certainly is a question that is not going to go away. But for right now, our brick-and-mortar retailers, our main streets, have to live within the existing tax code. And if they're based here, they collect or remit, we would like Amazon to follow the same rules.
Eric Brynjolfsson, we've got a couple seconds to hear a last thought from you.
Well, Bill is exactly right. And I think that comment previously is exactly backwards. We want to simplify the tax code and treat all retailers, all businesses, all individuals the same as much as possible. And that means that a good principle we should apply not just to the sales tax, but to all our taxes, is that similar people should be treated similarly. And in this case, that will happen if we charge the sales tax on online and offline retailers alike.
Eric Brynjolfsson is director of the MIT Center for Digital Business and co-author of Race Against the Machine. Mr. Brynjolfsson, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Bill Rennie, vice president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. Pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, continue this conversation online. There's no commerce at radioboston.org, but definitely conversation. Again, radioboston.org. Up next, our Common Health segment explores what's next in the life of Riley, a 9-year-old girl with a 1-in-1,000,000 disease. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.